Danke, Yvine. Reel 4. Yes, you were going to tell me, Danko, about your sort of general picture of the partisan situation as you saw it as a young boy of 10, you know, growing up in the war.
You know that the partisan war in Yugoslavia, organized in it, was 41. And it started in a small group, of course, maybe uprising in villages in massive way in Serbia and Montenegro, but end up 4 years later, now I'm historian, but just in one sentence, end up as a really a big army of anti-fascist army. Now I'm coming to it. As a child, I witnessed this. I saw this fast growing and fast changing, you know? And I was not aware. It was something normal before. I was a child. I was not, you know, full conscious that it was something really extraordinary. It came to me as a normal way. Today we are 7, and I was very quick in a complete normal expectance. Oh, tomorrow we are 14, let's say. Oh, now today we are in village. Oh, when we are coming to the town, you know, and so on. And that was the way, because I was a child, it was normal. We are very successful, we are brave, we are growing every day, that's it. And it was true. It was definitely true.
Why was the partisan growing like that? You know, again, going back to what you knew then, why were they getting such support?
You have many reasons. First reason was that the situation in whole Yugoslavia, there was only one who came as a fighter to save lives, you know? Put aside ideology. The people don't care about ideology, in villages especially. They don't know what is Marxism and what is this and what is fascism and so on. But you have Germans who are occupiers and destroy the peaceful life. So they are already guilty. Even if they are not killing, but they are guilty. Then with them came either Ustasha, who killed, either Chetnik, who you kill. Not so as Ustasha, of course, really. But yes, some, you know, some killing towards Croatia population and so on. And they were really drunkard, and they really took new villages from the peasants, you know. And then you have Italians, you have all sorts. And then you have, now it's very important, a partisan unit in the beginning with a very, very high morality. Very high morality. Who, until 43, to take an apple, you could be shot. Apple. I witnessed everything. You know, a boy was executed because he take from the fruit from the tree. They entered the village, they was remained, be careful. This village is not very friend of partisans. We have to make impact, impression that we are honest and so on. And there was a rest in the, you know, in the around houses and so on. He was executed, for example. A terrible thing. I witnessed. That was the reason. And this, of course, you know, such a thing is spreading about patients and about people in the country, that you have only one unit around going, which are not stealing, not killing, yes, executing enemy, if they are called Ustasha. So, but not all of them. Dobrogran, a normal military of Croatia, Ante Pavelić, Domobran, nobody was executed. Just stay with a uniform and rifle and go home. So, that was the first and maybe the most important list. More important than some support or help from big Russia or mighty America or something like that. In the beginning is always the most important thing. In the beginning, first, I would say in 2 years, until capitulation of Italia in September 43, when started even mobilization for partisan units. And then it was morality came, you know, it was mobilization, somebody was forced to join partisan and so on. But until capitulation of Italy, first 2 years, especially first 1.5 years to the spring of 43, it was a high morality, very important in all units, and this rumors about these fighters spread and got the sympathy. So they have all villages, they came in the villages, the peasants immediately gave the food for them, and shelter and everything. That is the first reason. The second reason is that the anti-fascist front was growing more stronger, and they being part of it. That is the second reason. The third reason is that they was fight only one effect fighter, anti-fascist fight, because Dražen Mihailović Četnik, they didn't fight. They had an official policy. We are waiting and keeping our lives to survive and on the end to be with our friends, you know. But they didn't dare to attack Germans and so on, and partisans attacked Germans and was fighting. So they've been recognized, first of all, of course, from Russia side, because Russia side is a friendship, a communist friendship, but they've been recognized by the allied Churchill and Roosevelt, we mentioned Dickin and so on, because they really fight and keep, I don't know how much, somebody is saying 10, somebody is saying 20 division, but they keep a lot of German soldiers in Yugoslavia, which could, either in other situations, being sent to East, to Russia, or to Western Front, into Italy or something. Mm-hmm. With all this together. Mm-hmm. And yes, we shouldn't forget. That is really objective. I've been in prison, in communist. I was never a communist at all, my father was. I'm saying I'm really objective. It was a special group of high capable leadership. Unbelievable. Some people here told me, you know, that they keep Dickin, McLean, all of them. They keep around Tito, especially Tito and the surroundings. 5, 6 of these men. It's Jenny Lee, wife of Anirin Bevan. They've been befriended with Gilas and so on. And she told, once we were sitting there, the son of Gilas was asking her, Jenny, what is Callaghan? How is this and how is this? And Tom Mary, she was fed up and she said, oh, please, Tito can put them all with the left hand in the pocket.
So you've mentioned Tito. How important was Tito?
Very important. very important. His decisiveness, his independence from Stalin in Queens, you know. He's being Croat, but for Yugoslavia. Being a peasant boy, but very much civilized, you know, civilized. He was cruel, of course. Who was not cruel? Very much.
Did you see and meet Tito?
I saw him. It was really accidents. A lot of accidents that I never came close with him, you know. I should, once it was already the decision that I should go as a courier to his personal staff and so on. Anyway, I saw him first time by the end of 42 in Bihać. Between, it was when he went actually, it was near Bihać, between Slum and Bihać. I just saw him, and after the war once, he knows, my father met him twice, three times before the war in these illegal movements, you know, giving money, helping, and so on. Mm-hmm. My father knows him, but not very well. He once, through my friends, we know that he mentioned twice, three times my father after the war and something. Mm-hmm.
But did you know when you were as a young, the youngest partisan, you know, as you've explained, was he important to you then, to all the partisans, you know, that you had someone like Tito?
The first picture, I don't have here, I can find, but it's leave it now. You have a picture of him, very known picture around, in English book, film, sort his book, and so. His portrait, photo in 42, he was then 50, exactly. It's a dark cap, you know, and dark uniform, just like this. It's not a tie, it's a tie, I don't know, it's a tie or not tie, clothes. And he was a handsome man. And this photo was made exactly when I came to Pakistan, April, May, just few days before, obviously few days before, that is my judgment, came this photo around all units from Bosnia, where he was. In Foča, it was, it's known, in a little town in Bosnia, in Foča, where Supreme Commander Tito, being in the beginning of 42, it was photo atelier remained intact, and they made a picture and so on. So they came with the couriers, this, you know, and it was fascinating, you know, it's a Supreme Command and his appearance, you know, on photo, it's a really a command. And it was, yes, it was definitely Tito was, from the beginning, it was a name. It was a name, it was appreciation, a great. And Hebrang, who was also came to Croatia, and so on, secretary of Croatia Committee. They were friends, but that is real story, that is history. Mm-hmm. I should maybe write about this. I wrote about this.
Yes, you were saying about the high morality and indicating the discipline, you know, the young boy who pinched an apple and was executed. You yourself, were you trained under a strict discipline? As a partisan?
It was not, how to say, military training to nobody. You know, you are meant, you are immediately fighter. Not I, but yes, I've been several times in fight. But I was not proper fighter. I was courier in the institution and so on, in the command of the units and so on. But anyway, it was occasion that I was on the front with all other colleagues, friends, and so on. You don't have to tell you, to explain you, anybody who came to, who joined the partisan, he was trained in the in real fight, you know, They gave him the rifle and say, look, you know or you don't know, or I don't know. So it's going like this. You will see. Go and you will see. Shoot and so on. That's it. The same was with the high morality in the beginning, especially. It deteriorated, you know. On the end, it was a lot of revenge, a lot of killing without any things. But on the beginning, definitely, it was high morality, and it was something a part of being, understanding by itself. We are, you know, fighting for the paradise of communism and so on. We have to be the best of them, the bravest, the cleverest, the best, the everything, you know. And the example, oh yes, that was always example. That was, I think, by Tito. He was very, very, very vain to be personally, to be example, you know. He was a very ambitious man, and I know this, of course. He was always, his word was example. To be example, good example, example. Be careful that you are going to be example in this fight and so on.
Could you, do you think, Danko, you were saying you were a courier.
Yeah.
Is there one particular operation that is memorable to you that you could describe as in your job as a courier, which meant crossing lines and, you know, incurring risk? Could you give an example of one of your missions as a courier?
I went, it was a lot of it, crossing lines, it was actually never crossing lines. It was fight, of course. In the partisan war, history of partisan war, Yugoslavia is divided in 7 offensives. It's not important. But 4th offensive, the biggest one actually. I've been with the Lika units going. I belong to the unit which was breaking front line or breaking encirclement to enable hospital wounded, about more than 1,000 wounded partisans, you know, to cross to the other part of Croatia, let's say, yes? This most safest part of the Croatia. So in this 5-4 days, I was moving from one unit to another unit. Maybe I was crossing even line, you know, it was, I remember that I was in a column. It was winter, it was snow. We went through the mountains of Capela. It's quite a big snow was my unit. And I asleep going. I was sleeping going, you know. It's unbelievable, but the military people, if you are talking to English military people, they will recognize this. It could be that you are sleeping and going. It could be, definitely, that is recognized. And I was going, and once I was not aware that it was a girl, a nurse in the hospital, nurse with a wounded, she was behind me and she saw somehow, I don't know, and she was like, don't sleep. I was a boy, a little boy. And it was, then was a other side, experience, other side of experience, pleasant for me in auto chats. The second part, summer and first part of the autumn of 43, I've been in Otochas, then I've been courier in the Central Committee. And every morning my duty was, they wake me up in the midnight, because it was an old, very old-fashioned printing factory, you know, hand printing factory. It was a proper one in the woods. But there was from the morning, early morning, let's say, not professional, so newspapers, short newspapers for the fresh news and so on. And I and the daughter of one very high member of Central Committee, as well, she was 2 years older than I, our duty was to mail them, when they put them, to print this, you know. It was 4 or 5 hours work from midnight to, let's say, 6 o'clock, and then to take it and to disperse around town to the institution, you know, how high command, Central Police, and so on, and that was that. Then I was free to go sleep or something like this. And every morning I came to the Supreme Commander, Rukavina, to Secretary of Central Committee, Herman, to all these, you know, people, and tell you, oh, Danko, you want the cake, you want everything, you know, it was a night party. Very nice, it was a pleasant summer of 43, it was a small town. I went in sometimes without uniform in a short as a child. It was all sorts of experience and all sorts of adventures. And, how to say it.
You were saying earlier, Danko, that once you were wounded, so tell me about that.
That was in town of Otočac, when Italia capitulated. That was, I think, the capitulation. I'm not good with the dates, the memory of it. I think the capitulation of Italia is 9th of September. 9th, I think so. Or 10th of September, 8th of September. Capitulation of Italy. And all partisan units went down to the coast. Otočac is behind Adriatic coast, 30 kilometers maybe. And Italians capitulated. It was a huge military detachment in Croatia. They capitulated, and it was necessary that the units go down to take capitulation, meaning to take armaments from Italian and everything. So they went, everybody from Otočac went down, and Ustasha been all the time in Gospić, which is, I don't know, about 50 kilometers, I don't know how much, 50, 60 kilometers from Otočac. And they have an information, of course, it's Otočac, the main partisan institution of Croatia partisan movements, without any units to protect, to defend. So they went through illegally a big Ustasha detachment, thousands and something, a Bojna called Bojna, went through wood to mountains, 2 days,
clandestine.
And attacked in the middle of the night. They came, they circled Otočac. It's a very known in the history of Croatia. The people, even English people know this. And they attacked in the middle of the night, they start to, you know. And I, being exactly this villa, was on outskirts. Not only I, 20, 25 people, maybe. We was living there. It was this little printing factory. It was a big villa, actually. And they been already, immediately they was near the shooting and so on. So I took just, I have a time to took my short trousers without anything. It was quite warm. And I jumped. And when I jumped down, I got the wound. One. I had two wounds. Not red, but yes, still wound. And then I saw them in front of me. I went to the other side, somehow through fence, and then running to the street, to the known poet who was a president, a title of kind of the president of Croatia state, let's say, partisan state. It's a mid-explanation, leave it. old man Lazar, very known poet, and I was very often come to him to bring him there. I went down, and in front of his house, it was composed so provisionally units of fighters. They took me together. I went with them on the other side of the, it's a small river, Gatska, to fight. They went actually to fight the Ustasha detachment from behind. It was 1516, you know. But it's composed in this hurry of midnight, you know. It was several little units, how to say it, I'm not English, what I just want. Quick, something arrangement which is quick, made it for just for this case and nothing. Not deliberately, but spontaneously, you know, made it. Oh, we are together. How many? Oh, let's go there. So I went with one of these group, you know, to fight behind. He was not fighting. Before they were shooting, but it was not. It was in vain anyway. Who survived? Survived. It was a lot of killing. They entered the hospital. They killed all the wounded people.
Who the
Ustasha? Yeah. The fighter. Of course, they couldn't escape. It was a very known. It was one of the in history of partisan movement. Never happened something like, because partisan was doing exactly this, you know, in the night, coming, surrounding Kherson. But this was exactly they picked the best moment, and they, and said it was a danger. They could, if they would be a little bit clever, actually enter the houses and kill all the leaders of the movement. Then I was with it. That was it, in this night. I was limping from that. Not strong. He still has a little scar.
Did you have doctors and medical attention? What was your medical attention like?
They give me a bandage immediately. Later on, it started to be a little bit, of course, pain with the time. In the morning, when this fight was over, so I lie down and. After a few days, it was better, so I was not in the, I went to the hospital, I'd been on the bandaging, but I was, because I was in a very good position in Villa or Central Committee with the bed and everything, I was not staying in the hospital. But later on came results, how she was a legacy, you know, of this wound, something.
You had, yes, it remained, the results of it.
Yes, influenza, but it was not cured completely. And then it came deeper, and then I went to the hospital, yes, and had a little operation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, where was the partisan hospital? Was it a sort of secure place?
It was the main hospitals all the time. Remain in the woods all the time. But as partisan units moved and as territory was bigger or smaller, it was obviously in the towns, in the villages, if they found ambulance, it was for immediately ambulance for partisans. If, for in Otočac was a proper hospital, it was hospital, of course, for partisans as well. But never abandoning the hospitals in the woods, which was somehow secure because it's difficult to approach them and everything. Mm.
You were saying earlier your mother was in the hospital.
Always yeah. In the medical department. Mm.
Were you keeping in touch with her?
Sometimes. When I became to be ill of later on, that was towards the end of 43, 1 month after, no, just a moment, I was, September I was, yes, I'm sorry, I came in beginning of October to my mother's hospital, as a result of this illness of wounds and so on. And after 2 weeks, I was again in good shape, and I went. Then I went to this district committee to be secretary, administrative secretary, because I, for my knowing to write and to type and to knowledge of German and so on. And then I've been again very ill, not of wounded. It's an illness which is, maybe known, you know, but it's itching too. But from this is coming a terrible influenza, all the body.
Oh, shingles.
I don't know.